Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. Today, our guest is the one, the only, Jim Reaney. He is the chair of the Labor and Employment Group at Sheehan Finney, and he's just a general nice guy. When putting the word lawyer and nice guy together may seem odd, but this is a true fact. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, David.
You don't even know where to go with that, do you?
No, I just say, just continue to tell your friends I'm a nice guy and occasionally tell opposing counsel I am, too.
Well, I can't promise that. I can't promise that at all. So, first of all, before we get to the show, it's been a little bit since we've certainly talked on air. I know we've had conversations off air, but, you know, tell the audience what's going on. There's really not much happening in the employment world right now, don't you think?
No, I'm bored to tears. I think that, you know, I heard something about COVID at one point, but I'm not really sure what that is. I think that, you know, since late February, early March, for practitioners, HR professionals, CEOs, COOs, and certainly employment lawyers, and those that work in the field like yourself, the world has turned upside down for everyone, but when you add in the issues with regard to the workplace and wages and benefits and all these other things, it has been, I think your term, a game changer.
There's no question that it's hard to even imagine any of this 6 months ago. I mean, we were coming into the first quarter of this year and everything was firing on all cylinders all across. I mean, you know as well as I do, we couldn't find talent. We couldn't find anything. We were worried about so many different things, and that all disappeared almost, if you want to say, in about a week. It just poof, disappeared, and everything changed.
Yeah, and it's you go from effectively below full employment on average, 2.7% unemployment, which is unheard of, being 4% full employment, to, on average, at the peak of it in March and April, nationally 25%, one in four Americans unemployed or underemployed. The numbers creeping down, depending upon where you are. Massachusetts is still 16% unemployment, but where I am in New Hampshire, where you are in Maine, the numbers thankfully are lower, hovering around 10%, but that's still incredibly high. And the numbers came out this week from labor, and again, we're seeing another decrease in the number of people that are either on unemployment benefits or have claimed for new benefits, and that is a promising trajectory, but the numbers are still high. And, you know, employers, like you said, I think are still looking for talent, but there are reasons why that some perhaps are not participating in the labor pool.
No, there is no question, and there's plenty of things that have happened, and of course, on a more personal note, for foodies like you and I, the restaurants have been closed, and just we have some takeout stuff. I mean, this has not been good. It's good for the waste, but it really isn't good for foodies like us, you know.
Although I will say, I think I gained the COVID-15 because it was stress eating and the like, and so whether through takeout or delivery, but now I'm trying to lose the COVID-15 and then some. But yes, I think we all miss the gatherings, whether it's in your church, largely in your workplace, or theaters, restaurants, and the like. And we all look forward to getting back to that. But, you know, I was reading the other day that in the days of the Spanish flu, 1918 and so on, it took upwards of 3 years before people felt comfortable in mass gatherings again.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny that's probably not true. And so do you remember that Spanish flu, Jim? I'm just curious if it was something that, you know.
I was born a few years after that, David, and because of that, you're not getting a Christmas present.
I knew I'd be in trouble. I knew I'd be in trouble for even that line. I knew I would be. You know what? We might even edit that out for you, Jim. Just we might. We'll go through it. So, you know, I think one of the things that certainly, and again, we're talking with Jim Reedy, is the chair of the Labor and Employment Group at Sheehan Finney. This topic we're talking about today, tips on managing a remote workforce. You know, it's interesting. If I go back probably 5 to 10 years, we've been talking about remote work for a number of years. You know, the millennials have been screaming for years that they want to be work from home. They want to do more from home. And so this topic wasn't really new, but it is new when everybody goes home.
Yeah, and you think about that. Somewhere around the middle of March, when the orders for stay at home came out state by state and the recommendations from the CDC and the WHO, it's no longer the exception to the rule. I mean, the person that needs to telework because of, you know, home with a sick child or a new child or other circumstances or just preferences, now it was everybody home. I was dealing with a client yesterday that said on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 90%+ of their employees were sent home. Yet they continued to work, and that was the challenge. But remote work itself, even before COVID, had a unique set of challenges for employers.
Well, and we're going to talk about, obviously, different sections today. But, you know, obviously the biggest concern right off the bat was IT. You know, first of all, you couldn't get laptops. If you did get laptops, you were having a good day. Remote access into companies either was minimal at best. You know, I don't know how many IT professionals were pulling their hair out by the end of March. You couldn't get cameras to do Zoom with. You couldn't get anything. It was just a remarkable time.
Yeah, I will tell you, the shortages that we experienced, I think no one expected. I mean, pasta, soup, toilet paper, bikes, and dumbbells. I think if you add to that laptops and tablets, I think we've effectively figured out the Da Vinci Code for COVID, sort of placing those all together. But I think the challenges for connecting your employees who had never been connected before, and the IT support, the software challenges, and perhaps most importantly, security issues. If your employees had access to payroll and benefit portals or financial information, or just in general, very serious security issues, data breach issues for employers were raised.
Yeah, I think there's so much, and certainly as we go through this, we're going to talk about where it's going too, because where it's ending up is we don't know, but it is going to affect the marketplace. It's affecting commercial real estate. It's making people think about how to deal with the remote employee, how to effectively manage them, how to effectively praise them, how to effectively do performance management. There's so much to this that got forced out. And I got to first say, and I'll say this publicly, I think employers did a hell of a job to at least manage it. And yes, maybe not perfectly, but wouldn't you agree that most employers took it very seriously and tried to make it work?
No question. And it's not just because I'm a management lawyer. I think I'm a business owner, too. In my law firm, I'm a partner, and I know how seriously it was taken there. We sent staff and paralegals home. We sent lawyers home, and we expected business to continue because our clients' businesses continued. So I think one was just out of, you know, self-preservation for businesses to maintain their business as much as possible. The other was genuine concern for the safety of their employees. And then, of course, you get Congress patching together first the Family First Act, then the CARES Act, and with that, the PPP, and so on. There was a lot thrown, and stimulus checks and so on, but a lot thrown out there, employers having to respond to it at the same time, trying to keep the conveyor belt or the engine running for their business. And, you know, think about the challenges of a business that had a receptionist or two, and that person was no longer there to receive the mail, to answer the phone, and so on, and other challenges as well, shutting down your business to visitors and vendors, and when that was normally what you would do. So lots going on in that regard. And, you know, this came at a time, I think, and you've seen this, David, where You know, the Society for Human Resource Management confirmed, even before COVID, that more and more employees prefer to work at least part of the week or part of the day at home. And that was seen also with millennials and other demographics where they were choosing where they wanted to live, not necessarily based upon a quality of life, as opposed to, I'm going to live close to work. Work now has been subordinated to the, you know, I enjoy mountain biking or skiing or whatever. And so that was the case before COVID. Now, since COVID, the Bureau of Labor Standards came out and said that at least 24% of the American workforce works regularly remotely. That's pretty significant.
There's no question. And it really was a mindset shift in many cases. And I know you're dealing with it as well as we are, that you have generational questions that, you know, you have some accepted it much easier than others. And you do have C-suite professionals who are typically in the older generations that were more resistant to making this a permanent thing. And they were stressing, how would there be controls in place? How would there be, getting the work done? What's the productivity? How are we going to make this all work? The security concerns, as you said, the logistical concerns that are really out there. And of course, the technology and really, I found that the employer became the informational source between what the government was saying and what the employee wanted to know. It wasn't really the media, because they were really in full hype mode. And I say that respectfully, we're on a radio show, part of the media. But the reality is the employer was almost the information source for employees of what was going on, whether it was unemployment, whether it was law changes, when you're going to get your checks. That's how I really saw it.
I think that's right. I think if you tuned in the nightly news or cable news or whatever, you were completely paralyzed by fear. The daily COVID infection numbers, the death rates, and so on. What was happening in New York City, people thought was going to happen in suburbia as well, you know, that refrigerator trucks for bodies and so on. So people were paralyzed. But more directly, the question was, will I have food? Will I have money to pay for food? Will I have my benefits and so on? And what if I get sick? Will I still have my health insurance benefits? So getting down to the important stuff for employees was, will I continue to get paid? I'm working remotely, you know, and is my job still going to be there? And, you know, what we had, of course, was, some employees being furloughed, employees taking advantage of, look, my kid's daycare or my kid's school is closed. I needed to stay home and take advantage of the Family First Act, but still concerns about, will I not have a job to come back to if I take advantage of this benefit and so on? So employers providing some degree of comfort in addition to communication about we're 100% shut down, we're 25% open, we're an essential business, and don't worry, and training that supervisor to be that portal for communication back and forth as to daily work requirements. And again, getting to the granular level, what's going on with the business? Don't worry, we're still up and running, or we have these challenges, or yes, we may have lost this business, but we've got this others as well. So I think that providing that comfort and that information was critical. And even when you had to make difficult decisions like we're furloughing you because, but our expectation is to bring you back by, and this is what we're going to do in the meantime, either assisting you with unemployment benefits or some other assistance, or just the peace of mind of that you'll be able to get back and we're not going to challenge your unemployment and so on. Thankfully, I will tell you, my experience has been, and you probably have had the same, David, that most of the employees that were furloughed were returned to work. And in fact, the greater challenge for employers is getting employees to come back to work.
Correct. Same thing. Same problem. There's no question about that. And then, you know, really that fear factor and understanding where they're at today. And you know, the two things you don't hear much about is, one, the daycare situation, because daycares weren't open, and you got really parents who, what do I do with my children now? And that's a legitimate question. And you have schools closed, daycares closed, and we don't know what to do. And then the second part is, you know, if we do know what to do, you know, what are the rules for going in, you know, temperature checks and all the things, which, by the way, were all illegal a year ago, to take a temperature check of somebody coming in the office. I was just thinking to myself, if I had called you, Jim, and said, hey, you know, I just thought I'd like to take the temperature of everybody that comes into my employment a year ago, I can't imagine what your response would have been.
Well, I could tell you my response would have been similar to a response I had years and years ago, where a client came to me and he said, you know, I've gone through so many support employees over the last few years. They basically left screaming and running from the building. Going forward, I would like them to take the Rorschach, the inkblot test, to judge their personalities before they come to work for me. What do you think? I paused for a second. I said, you first.
No, it's the truth. It really is the truth. Well, look, we're talking, obviously, with Jim Reedy. He is the chair of the Labor and Employment Group at Sheehan Finney. We're talking, and we are going to talk about in the next segment, tips on managing a remote workforce. We'll be right back. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. Talk to you in a minute. In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsandme.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobsandme to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
I'm Chris Riccobono, founder of Untuckit. We started Untuckit because we couldn't find shirts that look good untucked. That's why we created the perfect untucked shirt so guys can look sharp and feel casual. Untuckit shirts fall at just the right length. We have 50 fit combinations, so tall, short, slim, and bigger guys of all ages can look great in Untuckit shirts. Try the original Untuckit shirt at one of our 55 Untuckit stores or at Untuckit.com.
Use the promo code FALL for 20% off your first purchase.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, educational HR radio. I'm your host, David Chulo, and today our guest is Jim Reedy, Chair of the Labor and Employment Law Group at Sheehan Finney. And today we're going to be talking about tips on managing a remote workforce. Jim, I think we spent the last section, without question, providing an overview of, oh my gosh, what really actually happened. But I think now we definitely want to get into the thoughts of what are we dealing with the remote work. You mentioned to the fact that the world has changed, things have happened, we're dealing with all this, and we are doing what we have to do. Then employers are doing it because, A, they want to do the right thing, and B, because it is what has to be done. But it has created some legal issues for the remote work. So let's talk a little bit about that. What are some of the key topics that we got to deal with? And for HR professionals out there, this is a good checklist for you to think about all these different areas and how you're dealing with it today.
Yeah, I think a couple of quick legal issues would be dealing with data breach. We talked about in the first segment with regard to making certain and working with your IT professionals and support staff that you've got the proper network security in place and employees have been trained on how to use the equipment and what to do and what not to do. Potential workers' comp claims. And what do I mean by that? Well, if someone's not in your building, but they're still working on your behalf, technically, they could still have a workers' comp claim, whether in their home or elsewhere in a coffee shop working for you, and the importance of having them report to you in a timely fashion if they've had an injury or illness arising out of that work. Reasonable accommodation, of course, is one issue that's come up a lot in the last several months, of course, last several years, but in connection with telework, because the question is whether or not work from home, work remotely, is a reasonable accommodation. And in that regard, the analysis is pretty straightforward. Is the person disabled? And if the person is disabled within the meaning of the law, is remote work a reasonable accommodation, meaning can the person still perform the essential functions of the job with without reasonable accommodation? And the question for reasonable accommodation, how do you define that, is on a case-by-case basis and whether or not it represents a undue hardship, cost and effect upon the organization. If it doesn't, it may be a reasonable accommodation, but you always want to look at how long, the durational element there. And then wage and hour issues. The Department of Labor just came out with new guidance on this as to whether or not employers have to conduct fact-finding and investigative procedures to check on hours of work for employees. And the Department of Labor said, surprisingly no, that it's the employee's obligation to report his or her hours of work. And if they go beyond your standard work hours, then the employee has to report that to you. Now, can the employer turn a blind eye if they see an email at, 2:30 in the morning? No, then clearly something's going on from the employee and they have to follow up. But that's important guidance, again, that just came out from the U.S. Department of Labor. And then FMLA issues, if the person wants to take time off because they're caring for a family member or someone else, is that FMLA? And if it is FMLA, avoiding the FMLA retaliation when they do return to work or just because they've requested it. Is the person requesting remote work because of their gender or their age? And if so, denying that, could that be discrimination? And likewise, for someone who wants to work from home because they're taking advantage, if they're pregnant or taking care of a new child, FMLA, federal maternity leave and state maternity pregnancy protections, and even in some states, paternity leave for fathers. And then monitoring legal issues there. How much can you monitor an individual's work or computer use without an invasion of privacy? But, of course, there are protections for employers in that regard, too. So let's talk about the advantages and disadvantages of remote work. The advantages, pretty straightforward, cuts down on commuting time. And in New England, there's no excuse for inclement weather if you're in your jammies or working from home, right?
Yeah, it's true.
And therefore, arguably, you should have a full day of work from the individual. There's no excuse in that regard. And then it may cut down on office expenses. You mentioned that earlier, David, as far as the space issues. And you might have a happier and hopefully more productive employee.
Before you go further, I did want to ask a question on two things here, which I think is important. Because these issues have popped up in regards to, let's talk about inclement weather for a moment. And this question came up as if an employee is at home and inclement weather comes, it does, and the power goes out or the internet goes down or something happens that is, you'll call it, out of their control. They're an hourly employee. They're not a salaried employee because I think that's an obvious answer. Your take on what exactly the employer should do in those circumstances in regards to pay?
The answer is whether or not, even with the power down, even the internet down, and the like, whether or not the employee continued to work on behalf of the employer. So we are so tied to technology, you would think without power, without internet, without equipment, I'm not working. But in fact, the person may be working. Pen and paper, manual labor, and the like. So the answer is it depends upon the nature of the work. But if there is an inability to work as an hourly employee under both federal and state wage and hour laws, you only have to pay the employee for actual hours worked. And, of course, you can break it down to the segments of the nearest quarter hour, which is basically a seven-minute standard. Has the person performed work for the employer in that segment of time? And that's why, going back to the issue before about timekeeping is critical.
Yeah, there's no question. And I think that the question then segues into, should you have a policy on that, just like you would if you have an inclement weather policy, right? Something that says if you came to work or you didn't come to work, you get paid based on that situation. Is your advice that the company should have expand the inclement weather policy to maybe include, now that you're working from home, this will potentially be how we would pay you?
Yes, and I think the answer there is going to be ultimately a part of the remote work agreement. You know, I think we're going to talk about that in a second, but I think that's one of the elements, is tracking your time.
Perfect. And again, I asked that question because we just dealt with it, believe it or not, yesterday with a client. So that's and again, you are on the same page. But I thought it's a good question that employers are dealing with in real life today. Those very simple things. But
I think that is one of the disadvantages too of remote work, which is you don't have face-to-face supervision. There's lack of access for the employee, perhaps some distractions at home, and we all know that that's entirely possible.
You mean the cat walking through the Zoom video? Really? Any of that?
That or watching TV, or interaction with family members at home, or caring for children. You name it. Poor interaction with coworkers, social isolation, which is a big deal, potential misconduct. Believe it or not, one third of sex harassment cases, and that number is higher now, arise out of electronic communication. Somebody sending a stupid joke or a picture, and so on. But one of the ones I was going to focus on is the thing we just talked about: lack of wage and hour controls when you've got that remote employee, where as opposed to when the person is in your workplace with you. Untrained and ineffective managers is another, and I think the other is one thing we just talked about, which is the potential for data breach. So how do we deal with that? So some tips on managing the remote employees. I think the first thing would be, I'm a big believer in not a formal agreement, but putting something on paper, in writing, in an email, but a record showing that the employee received it. It's not an employment contract. The person arguably is still at will. But they should understand a couple of things. So we're clear from the outset. The reasons for this arrangement. I mean, is this disability related? If so, what's involved? How long is this going to? Is this COVID related? The person has an underlying health condition, or caring for someone, or the person is sick with COVID, or is it something else? Is it pregnancy related? Is it like you said, the daycare closed, the school closed? My husband or spouse is traveling. Whatever. But confirming the hours of work. I had a client ask this yesterday. It's our hours are 8 to 5 at this business. And I had a person working from home but would only log in after 10 o'clock at night. Well, that's of limited utility to most employers when the person had to be available in his or her job during regular business hours. The places of work, what are we talking about there? Where are you going to be? I'm going to be working from home. That gets to the security issues and internet and so on. But what the security requirements are under the software that the person has, either on their home computer, their phone, or their tablet, or the company-provided equipment. Big one, record keeping. We talked about that with wage and hour. Logging in, logging out. Taking advantage of, believe it or not, meal breaks. What if you've got an hourly or non-exempt salaried employee who's supposed to take a meal break under state law? How do you manage that for purposes of record keeping, for purposes of compensation? You ask the person to take that break and to log in and log out. The other is accountability and productivity. How do you know what they're doing and how they're doing it, and outline what you expect of the person? When the person is expected to return to the office. I've got a client that was at 90% remote work, and as of September 8th, they're going to have the remaining 25% arguably return to the office. But then you've got the overarching issue that's coming up in many school districts of completely remote, hybrid, or staggered work days, and school days, rather, and that means staggered work days for some parents. And then schedule revisioning that arrangement, whether it's COVID-related or not, saying, all right, we'll try it for X period of time, but then we're going to see whether this has been working for us, not necessarily working for the employee, but more so for the employer.
You know, one of the questions that has come up from employers, and sometimes they've asked this question, is, doesn't the employer have the right to insist that employees come back to work outside of, obviously, the legal COVID or disability or something, you know, guidelines. In other words, if the employer says, no, we want our people back at work, we insist that all employees come to work unless you have a legal reason that you have to stay out, they have the right to do that still, correct?
Absolutely. But I will tell you that easily half of my calls each day from clients are, I can't get my employees to come back to work. Now, whether it's the person produces a doctor's note or says my kid's daycare or school's closed or other reasons, or just it could be, I don't feel comfortable coming back to work. Or said another way, I'm more comfortable at home. And I had to smile when I've seen some of those. I think of, David, I'm a frequent visitor to the state of Maine. And the sign for the motto for the state of Maine is the way life should be. I think in many ways that remote work is the way a lot of employees now think. They're comfortable. It's the way life should be. But employers can say, but that's not the way it is here in our workplace. And yes, the employer does get to say, yeah, I understand that's what you'd like, but without a very good reason that we'll agree to, you need to come into work. I think Woody Allen said it best, 80% of life is just showing up. And I think that employers say the same thing. We expect you to show up.
So, Jim, just as a side note on this, does this still apply for the public sector? Because obviously in the private sector, no question on any of that. In the public sector, is there any carve-outs for that separately?
No, actually, you know, that's a good question, but I think there's no particular carve-outs. You think about first responders. They're the ones that are absolutely supposed to be at work. You know, you can't say I'm an EMT, but I would prefer to work from home, you know, or a firefighter. So I think that's, you know, but to the, let's go to the level of town halls. A lot of town halls are closed or limited access because of COVID. And some of those employees were permitted to work from home and will continue to be working from home until such time that that their facilities are up and running as they were before. Do they have any greater rights? The only greater rights they would have is if they're union members, and as a part of that that collective, they've bargained the ability to negotiate hours of work and places of work, which I will tell you is probably unlikely under any collective bargaining agreement I've seen, because nobody anticipated. It's been 100 years since we've had anything like this, and hopefully it'll be 100 years before we do again.
Yeah, there's no question that probably it's going to be something that comes up in the new agreements, or at least conversations for the new agreements. But you're right. I highly doubt that it's in any of the older agreements. And if it is, it's minimal at best in terms of this.
Right.
You know, we're talking with Jim Reedy, obviously, and he is the chair of the Labor of Employment Group at Sheehan Finney. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. JobsInME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsInME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsInME.com. That's JobsInME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then,
hey!
The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay long sleeve tees are just $29.99 each when you buy two or more.
Life's never perfect, but as realtors, we know living it in the perfect place can make a big difference.
Imagine
hiding from your screeching children in that spacious walk-in closet, watching the neighbor's dog poop on the freshly sodded grass you negotiated during closing, dropping your cell phone in the toilet of the spa-like five-piece bathroom again. So get the perfect place to house all of life's imperfections. Get Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. Today, our guest is Jim Reedy, Chair of the Labor and Employment Group at Sheehan Finney, and we are talking about tips on managing a remote workforce. Very, very important right now today, since, of course, it is a major thing that employers are dealing with. Jim, we've been talking about these tips for managing remote employees. And of course, one of the things that's been very, very important is to make sure they have the proper equipment at home so that we're dealing with technology and so forth. Talk a little about that and as to make sure. How do employers have to protect themselves in that area?
Well, I think some of it was existing information or best practices, and some of it is brand new related to COVID. Providing the employees that the equipment, that the materials, the equipment, the supplies that they need, if they're working remotely, or making some arrangement whereby the employee is reimbursed for that. But when we're talking about computer equipment, when we're talking about the hardware, the software, and so on, to make certain that it is absolutely meets the security guidelines for the employer, that someone isn't using an old Commodore quasi laptop, and with that, or outdated software, or hasn't used the anti-virus software that is required for, or that they've got the VPN connections and the like. I think making certain that that's in place. Or if the person's using their own equipment, let's say a smartphone, there's an understanding. You've seen them before, David, that BYOD, bring your own device.
Yes.
If you're using your own device, you understand that if you have access to our portal, our phone system, our computer system, and the like, we have the right to monitor your activities. And to the extent you leave our workplace, we can do what's called a remote wipe to wipe out our information. And with that, sometimes it's the collateral damage of losing your phones and your photos and personal information. So making that clear, if you're using your own personal device, what the downside to that would be.
You bring up a good point, because a lot of employers in March just simply said, grab what's on your desk and go home. And they haven't necessarily done the paperwork behind that to make sure that, you have a printer at home? I didn't know you took the printer. Right, they just don't necessarily know that. So this is a great tip to remind people to go back and let's get the information on that.
Yeah, and I think that that and the inventory, with scurrying out of the office in the middle of March, did they have the proper serial numbers or licensing for the software and so on? So IT departments continue to scramble. I must say, in addition to the first responders and the medical professionals out there in COVID, I think IT professionals have been right up there among the most essential personnel.
No question.
For the workforce.
No question. So we also talk about ensuring and promoting regular dialogue. I mean, I think that's been critical and needed for managers and coworkers. And one of the things that really you mentioned a few minutes ago was the training, because a lot of managers have never been trained on how to manage a remote workforce.
Yeah, and avoiding situations whereby, you know, you might have that overbearing manager, or on the other end of the spectrum, the laissez-faire manager who's like, have you checked in with so-and-so? Because she put in 85 hours of work last week, according to her records. Oh, no, I haven't, but I know she's been busy. Well, no, in fact, what happened in that case is the person forgot to log out, and it looked like continuously the person had been working. And then said, you know, saying to the supervisor, you got to pay attention to these things. Or, you know, what's going on with this project? I don't know. I haven't heard from him or her. Well, no, we recommend daily and regular check-ins. If for nothing else, for purposes of this is what I expect, this is, you know, how are things going? Like you said, David, was there a power outage? Did you lose internet? For some reason, did you go on vacation? What's going on? We haven't heard from you. And so it's a two-way communication. But logging in the monitoring, but it's also important, again, to avoid social isolation, which a lot of people experience. They said there was in addition to drug and alcohol issues, there was depression and anxiety, perhaps amplified by the news, but also because of social isolation. So where someone had been used to being in the workplace and connecting with other people, then being alone, perhaps, or in, you know, or isolated at home with, you know, very few people. So.
That's huge. That's a huge piece, and not talked a lot about, to tell you the truth.
Right. And I think that the supervisor training them on how to properly measure performance and how to communicate with employees, how not to overpromise, how not to undermanage, I think critically important. I've said for many years, that supervisors are both your eyes and ears and your Achilles heel. So I think managing the managers is important.
There's no question, and I think that, you know, look, right in March and April, you saw a lot of companies go to what I call, like, we'll take care of you mode, having daily, you know, conversations and fun chats to try to keep people calm and relaxed. And now they're saying, but you also got to work, and so we need to bring in some accountability and so forth, and doing it the right way, so to not create a backlash from employees that go, well, you were so kind in March and April, and now you're being, you know, X, Y, Z. And I think that's an important piece of it, because communicating and accountability still matters.
Well, there have been cases, David, where employers said, we will bring you back on X date. Well, I don't know if anybody had a crystal ball, and if they did, they're quickly off the shelves faster than the hand sanitizers. But we will bring you back, or that supervisor who says, don't worry, you'll always have a job here. And then come September 1, the person said, your job's been eliminated. But I was told by my supervisor I'd always have a job here, so I went out and bought a new car and I bought a new house.
Yeah.
And then it must be because I am, and still in the blanks for purposes of the protected class. So, yeah, not overpromising, not undermanaging, critically important.
We also bring up the fact, and again, we're talking with Jim Reedy, and he is the chair of the Labor and Employment Group for Sheehan Finney. And we're talking about, of course, tips on managing a remote workforce. You know, Jim, this whole thing of trusting employees and employers struggling with that.
Yeah, I will tell you that I do rely upon the words of Ronald Reagan when he talked about the then evil empire of the Soviet Union. Trust but verify. So trust your employees, absolutely. I think that is important. You've got a relationship with them, and these are adults for the most part. But verify. How do you verify? Laying out productivity standards, daily check-ins and monitoring, and yes, computer monitoring as well, but not over-monitoring where the person feels the sword of Damocles over their head or Big Brother looking over their shoulder, because then they feel like I'm not trusted by my employer. And no surprise visits. I've actually heard of this where a supervisor dropped in believing that the person was either on vacation or not working and dropped by the person's house. Without exception, I would say, generally speaking, that's a very bad idea.
Yeah.
Avoid Facebook stalking. And for our listeners that don't know what that is, you know, going on Facebook and going into the search bar and putting the person in to see if you can find out, are they on vacation and what are they doing or what are their interests and so on. One, there's a legal term for that. It's creepy. But the other is it's potentially an invasion of privacy. And more importantly, we have no business doing that. Now, are there instances when you can actually go on social media to find out what somebody's doing? Sure. A workers' comp investigation or litigation or otherwise, when the person says they're out on leave and we have heard from coworkers that they're away on vacation, maybe. But you have to tread very lightly in that regard. So trust is important, but also setting certain parameters for the work and the work expectations, I think, is important because the person is out of sight, but they shouldn't be out of mind.
There's no question about it. Again, we're talking with Jim Reedy. He's the chair of the Labor and Employment Law Group at Sheehan Finney. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And we'll be right back. In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs in ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Don't you love that feeling when you've just nailed your look? That's how it feels to use Stitch Fix. They're a personal styling service. Tell them what you love, and they send great clothes for you to try on at home. Sign up in just a few minutes. Tell them about the brands you love and the looks that make you feel great. Get everything delivered right to you. There's no subscription required, ever. Keep what you want and send back anything you don't. Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix. Personal styling for everybody.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. And we're talking with the one, the only, Jim Reedy, and he is the chair of the Labor and Employment Law Group over at Sheehan Finney. We're talking about tips on managing a remote workforce. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to Educational HR Radio. You know, I got to tell you, Jim, as we head into the final stretch here, a couple of things that come to mind that you've talked about is this is a good time for an organization to reinforce what their mission and values is and to live them, isn't it?
It really is. I think that I heard this yesterday from a client in communication with their employees. We may not all be together in the same workplace these days, but we're still all together as one team. And I think with that and reinforcing your organization missions, values, expectations, and the like, and even going to the micro level of the employee, managing that individual's objectives and clarifying goals and output and production and performance measurements, I think is incredibly important when that person is working remotely, even part of the time of the week. I like what you said earlier, David, which was in addition to the managerial side of, well, this is what we expect, this is what I want you to do, and so on. It's also, because the person's not with you, increasing recognition as appropriate.
It's absolutely
positive
true.
Positive feedback as needed, right?
It's absolutely true. And, you know, it goes a long way. Look, you're not seeing them where we in the workplace have what I call the wink and nod. Right? You look over and you're doing a good job. You just kind of nod a little. You go, nice job. And you don't even say it. It's just a wink and nod. It's a shrug. And people know you've been around a while. You're like, I know what that means. Oof, I feel good. You don't have any of that remotely. Even in Zoom, you can't, it's not fully there. And so that is such a critical piece. If you don't say it, they don't hear it.
I have to smile, David. There was a movie years ago that perhaps you'll remember, Papillon. It was Dustin Hoffman and Steve McQueen, and they were in, you know, prison in far away, and they were in isolation. And once a day, they could stick their head outside the cell and look down to the next cell, and the question they would ask was, "How am I doing?" And the answer is, you know, you look great, even though the person didn't. You look great. You look great. So it was just to keep up morale. So I think that is important, and you're right. Zoom calls don't overdo it. In fact, we actually have a new condition called Zoom fatigue. And I think that just that regular communication, touching base, to show we're still integrated and you still matter and we still appreciate you. Yes, you're accountable, but we appreciate you. And I think that those are all very important. But as you close out this arrangement, again, understand that telework is not necessarily meant to be forever, certainly not in COVID. Hopefully COVID will end soon. But revisiting and reassessing, does this work for us as the employer? So I think that as we wind up, there's no question you open to this, David, it's a brave new world. The home used to be a separate refuge from work. And now, because of advances in technology, even before COVID, but now with COVID and the changes in how we view work, home is in many ways inextricably linked to work. So if we can properly manage remote relationships, perhaps we can have that motivated and productive employee, and the employer can benefit as much or perhaps more than before.
Jim, it was great to have you back on the show today. Again, we're talking with Jim Reedy, Chair of the Labor and Employment Group at Sheehan Finney. We talked about the tips on managing a remote workforce. Look, stay safe, stay healthy, my friend, and enjoy a very good meal.
Thanks, my friend. Good to see you.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM. And we'll be right back with the HR Tip of the Week. And now, your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Hi, this is Tawny Alvarez at Verrill. Following the pandemic, do you still have employees working from home? In fact, is a large portion of your workforce still working from home? If so, when was the last time that you reviewed your telecommuting policy? Are your current practices and standards in line with the policies and expectations that you had previously shared with employees? If not, consider updating and amending your policies to coincide with your current work from home or telecommuting expectations. Make sure that these policies take into account any communication and productivity concerns that may have been experienced as a result of the pandemic. To further discuss these issues and more, contact a member of Verrill's Labor and Employment Practice Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.